Have you seen this before? To have a rent idea where I'm coming from. Now, we've had a little discuss with something this morning on the laptop. Are we likely to have a video?
At the moment, it's just it seems to
be going to be a look. Oh, right, okay. Well, it's. Well, let's be honest, what is your name? Right. A few weeks back when I noticed the date and that I was speaking today, and I prayed about what to bring, and you know me, I do things differently, so I thought I'd better check with Richard first of all to see if it was alright. And the last week or so, I've sort of been thinking on what I was bringing here today. And all of a sudden you get everything ready and then God throws a few other things in. So if you don't mind, I will pray because I want to be God's mouthpiece here this morning. So Father, I put this time in your hand and the message that you've given me to share, I believe. And Father, I want to be your mouthpiece standing here and give the glory to you. And I ask for your help to put this over in Jesus' name. Amen. And if Annette had been here, I would have prepared her. Right. I've been working with the modern King James Bible, and a scripture that I've looked at is Luke chapter 4. The gist of it is in verses 16 to 21, but the verse I want to look at is something that stood out to me, I think, from early on when I became a Christian. Jesus is in the synagogue on Sabbath, as what his testament says. And he found the book of Isaiah, and he unrolled the scroll and found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim deliverance to the captives, new sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those having been crushed." It's almost an echo of the scripture that's in the book of Isaiah chapter 61. And I'd like to read that as well, from verse 1 to 3. The modern King James Version. Sorry, Richard. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is on me, because Jehovah has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to preach the acceptable year of Jehovah and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to appoint to those who mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Jehovah, that he might be glorified." The bit I want to focus on is that Jesus said he came under the power of the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit's help, to bind up or heal the brokenhearted. Now, I did do a little PowerPoint presentation, which hasn't worked out. So, obstacles are there to be overcome. So, what I want to try and just put over from where I'm coming from. I don't need all these scriptures, so I'm going to do too quick, just bear with me. Right, in Genesis 1:26 we have the verse that says, God said, let us make man, or mankind, in our image according to our likeness. And there is a scripture in the New Testament, I think it's 2 Timothy 2, that declares that we are body, soul and spirit. It's all in the one verse. So the description of a man, person, female too, that we are body, soul and spirit. And with Richard's permission, I'm going to do something a little bit naughty now, because the PowerPoint wouldn't work. Can I have 4 volunteers to stand out the front for about a minute? Thank you, Brian. I just want 4 volunteers, because I want to try and explain something roughly, which is the root of everything I am doing. So if you can just stand in a row for me to explain. So I'm sorry, for the moment, Russell is reverently going to be God. Will you all hold hands? Okay. Gary's going to be representative of our spirit. Brian's going to be representative of our soul. And Peter's going to be representative of our body. And we know in the garden that when sin came in, thanks to Satan, the gap between spirit, our spiritual connection with God, was broken. At that point, the body, spirit and soul did not die physically. But there was an effect that started working in the spirit of man, which had an adverse effect on the soul of man, which then ended up being visual in the body of man, ultimately death. So thank you, everybody, take your seat. But what I wanted to try to explain to you, the effect on the spirit became ultimately an effect physically manifested in the flesh. And we know today, as you see many of those black cars going off to the crematorium and the ceremony, that our body, the flesh, is temporary, but the soul and the spirit are permanent. Jesus' sacrifice stepped in and reconnected, made a way of reconnecting the spirit of man to God. And that is the connection that keeps us going today through the Holy Spirit, is our connection. Now, if I haven't got scripture to back anything up here, I am going to say it's my understanding or my impression or something that I have been taught, which again is an impression, okay? Okay, if we look at the spirit part of us, it suggested we are conscious, the conscience, sorry, that it is intuition and it relates to God. And if we look at the soul, it is suggested that is mind, will and emotions, and it's also suggested it's self-consciousness as opposed to the spirit being God-conscious. And then the body, the physiological body, is world-conscious and it relates to the environment. I've heard it said that some people who live in Africa very rarely get the disease, which I understand Richard, myself, and I think Russell has an understanding of, because of a Western diet. So the environment has an effect on the physical body. But the Word of God has an effect on the spiritual body. God is spirit, and his word has spiritual life for us. And in reading the scriptures in Luke and Isaiah, it got me to thinking about the broken hearted. Now, I'm going to share some things that have happened in my life to get me where I am today. And in that, I'm not going to pick on anybody here. I'll point back at myself and say, my scriptures, why I'm here today is because one verse I found in the Bible, why I'm sharing this, is John 14 verse 12. I will read it. It says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. So Jesus is saying, what I've been doing, you've been watching me, I've been your role model up until now. When I've gone, you carry on doing that. I lost the scripture, which is fine. Oh dear. Right. When news got to Jesus that Lazarus had died, he didn't immediately go to Bethany. And I suppose the disciples thought, that's strange, that's not like him. Oh, I beg your pardon, I got one verse, it's John 11. Is the main scripture of Lazarus, Mary, Martha. And you know the story. Jesus gets to the tombs. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. And Jesus tells the people, move the stone. The excuse is, oh, he's going to be stinking. And if anybody has been out in Israel and knows the temperature and how things go in 4 days' time, they were right. But Jesus had a link to the Father through the Holy Spirit, and he said, I thank you that you've heard me. He called Lazarus out to the tomb, and Lazarus came forth. And in verse 44, which is what I'm concentrating on, the version I've got, I'm not sure if it's NIV, it says, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Now, Jesus had a pair of hands. He could have removed those grave clothes himself. I'm not going to go into the touching a dead person and unclean. I'm looking at Jesus being the role model, said, you do it, you help him. And my impression and thought is that as we are believers together, and others that we meet that are believers, we help one another, we encourage one another, talk to one another, share with one another, pray with one another, because we are one family, one body, part of one whole body, the Bride of Christ. When I looked at brokenhearted, and it does literally mean in the Hebrew, as it's mentioned, it is a broken heart, but it's more than. And I know many people have said the words that, and my nan used to say them, Sticks and stones might break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's not true. The spoken word is so powerful. God spoke the word, and the earth was. Spoken words can bring blessings or curses. And if a word is spoken to you, it can have a negative or a positive effect on you. And I'm going to just do a little bit for you. You've seen this prison before. The reason I've got it, I'm not going to pile a load of scriptures today. You know the account in Matthew 18 from verses 21 to 35. Jesus is telling people a parable about the servant who would not forgive the debt of his servant, but he was forgiven. Ultimately, when the Lord found out, his Lord, he called him in verse 32, the master called the servant and said, "You wicked servant, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. And shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?" And in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Now, sometimes parrot fashion, I've done it myself. I've gone to a church that has said, "And let us all say the Lord's Prayer." And parrot fashion, you then start out, "Father, who art in heaven," and get down to those words, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And sometimes I don't think it actually goes in of what Jesus is saying, this is how you should pray, until we look at the power of forgiveness. Now, I know Tom shared about forgiveness some months back. And as he said, while doing our study, God dealt with him. Well, I can assure you, God dealt with me in the last few days over issues. And verse 35 of Matthew 18 says, "This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Now I think making it more personal, even the disciples had gone to him and said, "Well, how many times should I forgive? 3, 4? And he said, 70 times 7, which is keep forgiving. It's not easy to do. I know that from the last month or so, that it's not easy to do. There's another scripture in Mark 11:25, and I will read two versions. "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." And you might say, "I don't know if I've sinned, you know, too much." I'm not going to say I haven't. We all know that daily something does come up that we need to confess for. King James says, "And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." That word trespasses, the Greek is paraptoma, and it's a lapse or deviation from the truth. You haven't got to go and murder somebody to sin. I think Jesus was teaching them that even the thought of the mind can make you as guilty as if you had done it. when he talks about if a man lusts after a woman with thoughts of adultery, it is as if he had done it. And the mind can be a battleground that the enemy uses. But I'm going to go over here and I'm going to focus on my life about things that may have been said that have affected me. Things that people have said or maybe even done. And I'll go to childhood and my father left us. There was rejection. And I think my mother always used to say, your father left me. So there was blame that she put on me. In later years, understanding that blame, I felt guilty. These are all emotions that the soul has to deal with that affect the body. There was the lack of fatherly love, which is described as an affirming love. The mother nurtures the baby, feeds, provides for the family, but the father affirms that the child is special. So when you're told that you weren't wanted, your father didn't want you, that's another spoken curse. And as you go through life, you might meet people or friends who let you down, say horrible things. Even Christians to Christians do it. Family. Until in the end, there's been a lot of things said against you. And maybe in your heart, you've thought about them. And they've festered. Now, ultimately, it's a bit of a visual that looks like a prison. There are many more examples that in the way that people can hurt one another. Life can hurt. Things that have happened that we don't expect. I'm just to try and keep this light. I didn't have a doll, so the desk had to come down. But in the end, these things, while we fester them and hold on to them, they put us into a prison of torment. Things, words go round and round in your mind. And the need for Jesus is healing into our soul and body then becomes a bit more understandable in the verses where he says he comes to heal the brokenhearted. One thing I didn't mention because I was leaving it until last, and this is where the lid comes off. When we forgive, it's not easy. I've heard people say, I can't forgive. And I've also heard it preached that to forgive, which is asked of us by God, is an act of will. It's a decision that we say, God wants me to forgive. I can't, I need his help, but I will to forgive. Please God help me. And sometimes the first forgiveness that comes to mind with me is I have to ask God to forgive me for holding unforgiveness toward him for things that had happened in my life, for the daughter I had that I didn't expect because she was born with special needs. for a lot of things that happened in my life. For my daughter's father who tried to strangle me. For a stepfather who used to beat me. You, as a human and as a child who's vulnerable, you want to put the blame on somebody. And unfortunately, it's even happening today. Why did God allow it? It's not always God's fault. Sometimes it's the humans in this world do this to one another. And the effects of sin are becoming progressively, what's the word I'm looking for? More evident because of our shortage of lifespan since the flood. Where before the flood they lived to ripe old ages of 900 and something, 800 and something. No. To now we're blessed if we get 80 years and 10 or more. I'm not going to limit my life. But it comes to the point you have to forgive your mother for blaming you. You have to forgive your earthly father for leaving you. That person who said those horrible words to you, you have to forgive them until you get out of this prison. It can't always be done physically on your own. It is too hard. For instance, is, as you know, some of you, we used to ask for prayer for a young girl we took under our wing named Donna. And she had stayed with us during the Mother's Day period this year in March, I think it was. And the day that Brian took her back home, she had tears in her eyes, and I didn't know why at the time. I do now. It's because she turned her back on us that week and went back with a boyfriend who just came out of 2 years in prison. We don't know what for. But she totally shunned us for about 2 months. And she was almost a daughter. And I have had to forgive her. Not just for hurting me, but for hurting Brian as well. And it's been a lot of emotions. If I hadn't forgiven her, I would not be a very good testimony and witness of God's forgiving power. And God asking us to forgive and walk in the Christian walk. But the forgiveness set me free. It wasn't easy to do it. And it's not easy, but it's not impossible. And if you make the will decision to forgive a specific person for a specific thing, forgive God for something that might have happened in your life that you had no power over, there is freedom. There is freedom. I've thought about this, and I used to look on myself as a broken vessel, and God has worked on me to make me what I am here today. And I'm hoping that we might be able to watch a little video, it's only 5 minutes, that would explain a little bit better what I'm trying to get over to you. Fingers crossed, and see if it
here. It was made for drinking tea. It was made from good porcelain and designed with a beautiful design. It was also given a good name. The manufacturer is a famous one and has a good reputation. And this cup was not cheap. I could imagine that someone here might find this cup beautiful and would like to have a cup like it. When you drink from it, you feel good about it. Women are likely more taken by it The men probably would rather imagine that in your life. The good thing, this cup has a high calling and will be used for big purposes and maybe be made for important people. Even a queen could have tea with it. Now we have another model here. This cup does not appear very attractive. It is simple, made with a simple picture, and because of an accident it broke, and it does not look very good. From the beginning on, it was probably not meant for an impressive purpose. Now it has cracked and can actually not be used anymore. When I glued it, I thought usually you would throw this away. If we speak of the cup as representing people, we could easily say this person was from the bright side of life, and everything was well for them, they're doing fine, and success is already predicted. God gives people like this great gifts and will use them in a great way for His kingdom. But we also know such broken cups. Many of us ourselves a broken cup like this. And you might think, fate wasn't very good to me. Or God made me a vessel He just can't use. Too much pain was in my life. Too many wounds. Too much brokenness. Too many sins. Sins and addictions nobody knows about. Only me and God. My past is too dark. God cannot use me. I'm too broken, too imperfect, too average, with too many faults. I just have to become a better person before God can use me. But then God comes, picks up the broken pieces, glues them carefully together, puts lots of love and tenderness into puzzling together the broken vessel. For He wants to use it for something very special. For God, such a vessel is not to be overlooked, too broken or has too many faults and weaknesses. For a vessel like this is something very special. This cup could not stand by itself if it wouldn't be for God's sympathy. This cup is aware of its brokenness and weakness, and it is thankful that it has been repaired. On my way here, I was much more careful with this cup than with the intact one. I knew it could fall apart very easily. This is how God handles us when we're broken. He's tender, patient, and careful. He wants to use our brokenness, our wounds and scars, our hurts and shortcomings. He wants to use them for His plan. He knows when His light shines in us, it shines through our cracks, through our weaknesses, through our shortcomings. We shine for Him and for others. He gave us a calling, and He uses our story to complete His work. Every cup is for God, for His goal, and for His kingdom of great importance. And every cup has a different calling. Also, the most broken, most forgotten, most overlooked, and useless appearing cup has a calling. And this cup is something very special. God's strength keeps it together. It has felt the loving, tender hand of the Creator, and now it may shine for Him.
Thank you. I'm not going to say any more except that it will just be a lot of God does for one, he will do for all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.